The Lord be with you.
Amen.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these very stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, and the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. The gospel reading for this weekend and for next weekend both deal with this towering figure of John the Baptist. So let me say a few words about him, maybe get to know him and discover what he has to teach us. Many of the pilgrims from here will have been to Qumran. It's a settlement in the Judean desert on the north shore of the Sea of the Dead Sea. And there lived, in the time of Jesus, from maybe 100 years before Jesus into the time of the Lord, a community called the Essenes. The Essenes were very rigid. They were ascetic people. They were plentiful all over the Hebrew world, but they were especially settled in this community of Qumran. And there they practiced very rigid discipline in diet and in religious practice. They had very fervent dedication to their ideals. They were the chosen ones. They were the enlightened ones. They were the ones who had the answers. In 1947, a Bedouin boy in that area was following some goats, and he threw a stone after some goats who had wandered off, and they landed in a cave. And that was the beginning of the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, the greatest archaeological, biblical find in the last 100 years. And therefore, we're all very familiar with the name Qumran. I know many of the pilgrims have been there. That's of some interest to us, because there is a good indication that if John did not belong to the Essenic community, he was very influenced by them. And you see this in the manner of his teaching. So I decided, when I was reflecting on this, that I'd like to meet John the Baptist. So using the Ignatian imaginative prayer, I decided that I would go out into the desert and meet this fellow, get to know him, I mean, what has he got to say to me? What did he look like? What kind of doctrine did he preach? How did his life begin? How did he live his life? And how did his life end? I want to get to know him. Well, if you read the Gospel of Luke, he's in all four Gospels, but the beginning of Luke's Gospel deals with his parents, Zechariah, who was a priest of the house of Abijah, and his mother, Elizabeth, of the tribe of Aaron. And so we get to know his background a little bit. He grew up in a very formal Hebrew tradition. So now he begins to preach in the desert, and he's preaching a very Old Testament rigid doctrine. The axe is at the root of the trees, brood of vipers. His language is very strong. His language is rigid, and his language is absolute. There is the Lamb of God. He sees the Lamb of God. That's his mission. He's sent in divine providence to point out Jesus, who is the Messianic One, the Lamb of God. So he's a chosen person. He's full of confidence. The Gospels have him baptizing Jesus. So he's an elite person. And now, if you read on in the Gospels, you'll find that this man who was certain, chosen, judgmental, severe, will go through a crisis in his faith. In chapter 11 in Matthew and chapter 7 in the Gospel of Luke, we'll find him in prison. And now it appears he's in crisis, for he sends his followers to Jesus to say, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Now he wasn't sure. He used to be certain, but now he's not certain. He's in crisis now. Darkness has fallen upon him. And he wonders, did he make a mistake? He sends his followers to say, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we be looking for another?" And Jesus answers, "Go back and tell him in prison. Tell him what you see and what you hear. The blind are given sight, the deaf are made to hear, lepers are healed, and the gospel, the word, is preached to the poor. Go back and tell him what you see and what you hear." Quite different than what he first preached. While in the beginning, he appeared to have a judgmental, severe, messianic prophecy, he didn't know Jesus. He just knew who he was. He didn't know the doctrine, the teaching, the revelation in Jesus Christ. He didn't know the Jesus who would eat with sinners. He didn't know the Jesus who would forgive 70 times 7. He didn't know the Jesus who would sacrifice his life, lay down his life, and rise from the dead. He didn't know this Jesus. And the Lord sends the followers back to tell him. And Jesus goes on to say in both Gospels, this man in crisis, there is no man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. So what does this mean to us? I want it meant to me. It means that somewhere in your life you were cruising along and everything was just fine. And then you hit a crisis. And God was blessing you. And your life was full. And your life was happy. And everything was well. And then you hit a crisis. And now you are positioned, now you are conditioned to discover the true God. Only out of a time of crisis. The God you knew before was not the true God. The God you knew before was a false God. That's the God that you pray to in a football game and you win the game. It's kind of a foolish thing, but it's real. People believe that. This is the God that you light candles to win the lotto. False God. You will discover the true God in your time of crisis. I reached back into my library the last few days to to summon back into my remembrance two books that I read way back in the 80s. One was Harold Kushner. You might remember this. When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Now, Kushner, this conservative rabbi, he knew what he was saying. His son, Aaron, was diagnosed when he was 3 years old with this terminal disease, some kind of a rapid aging process. And he went through a horrendous time, and he died when he was 14. And it prompted the rabbi to begin to think about, when bad things happen to good people, where is God? And he wrote this extraordinary book, which was a bestseller because we all relate to it. And in this book, he has one occasion he speaks about when this woman came to him and she was in a bad automobile accident and she survived. And she said, "Now I believe there is a God." And he said, No. Go away. Come back when things don't go well and tell me you believe in God. The other book I found was The Gulag Archipelago, an extraordinary book by Solzhenitsyn. And in this book, this extraordinary fellow, who had much to teach us in our culture, by the way, goes on to say this: "It was granted to me to carry away from my prison years on my bent back, which nearly broke beneath its load, this essential experience. In the intoxication of my youthful successes, I felt myself to be infallible. It was only when I lay there on rotting prison straw that I sensed within myself the first stirrings of good. That is why I turn back to the years of my imprisonment and say, sometimes to the astonishment of those around me, bless you, prison. I have served enough time there. I nourished my soul there, and I say without hesitation, bless you, prison, for having been given life to me." So tell me about your crisis. Tell me about when things didn't go well. Was God there? Or did we question the fact that maybe God isn't there? Were we John in prison? I saw him in prison, and I wondered who he was, and I found I was John the Baptist. When things didn't go well, and things collapsed, and I failed, and I was in sin, and I was judged, and then I found God. I found the God who heals, the God who forgives, the God who sacrifices, the God who calls me to say, belong to me. Belong to me in following me to Calvary. Belong to me in a time of crisis. Belong to me in a time of suffering. Discover who the true God is, which will only come to you in a time of struggle. So consider. Don't have to look for it. It will happen to you. It's just the economy of life. Consider when things went wrong, when the crisis happened, and you might have missed the grace of the moment to say, Now, for the first time perhaps, I meet the true God. I went back and I thought about that in my own life. And I said, wow, that was the time of revelation. The time of darkness was a call to light. The time of sorrow was a call to understand. The time of failure was a time to invite grace. And all now life takes on a new meaning. And reversal takes on a new value. And the power of Jesus Christ becomes
far more real. I didn't need the power of Christ when all was well. I didn't even thank God enough when all was well. And now, I begin to discover in a new way how God has sent to give sight to the blind, to let those who do not hear, hear in a new way, to see with new eyes. I am the leper that needs to be healed. I am the one that's called to follow Jesus, carrying a cross, make sacrifices for others. Generously, graciously, I am the one called to forgive 70 times, 7 times. And only when that happens do I really experience the true God. Well, John the Baptist will appear again next Sunday. So think about getting to know John the Baptist during the week, and we'll come back and we'll meet him again next Sunday. Amen.